Welcome back to Logical with Ludmila, where we untangle the legal knots so that you don't have to. I'm Ludmila Yamalova, a U.S. qualified lawyer based in Dubai. In each episode, we break down complex law into clear, practical insights that you can actually use. In today's episode, we will explore Dubai's new mediation framework, changes that are set to redefine how disputes are resolving moving forward. This shift comes with the recently enacted Dubai Mediation Law, being Dubai Law Number 9 of 2025. At a high level, this law amends 10 articles of the original Law Number 18 of 2021 on mediation or conciliation in the Emirate of Dubai. So how exactly does this new law reshape the landscape? By enhancing enforceability, expanding scope, clarifying procedure, and increasing oversight. From a structural standpoint, these amendments allow the Center for Amicable Settlement Disputes, it's called CASD, that's the acronym, to mediate and settle family or personal status disputes, with some exceptions, and also give authorized conciliators or mediators through the same CASD or the center, or delegate entities, the power to ratify settlement agreements so that they become executory documents legally enforceable without going via judge ratification. Why were these amendments needed? There are a few factors and reasons at play that required for the modifications and for the specific amendments. So, for example, they were necessary to modernize the legal regime and increase efficiency. The old law, which was Law Number 18 of 2021, had key limitations. Even after agreements and conciliation, you needed to still have it ratified by a judge in order for it to be enforceable. That obviously added delay, cost, and uncertainty. Also, previously, many disputes, especially family and personal status disputes, often lingered in courts, taking time to resolve. Parties often felt the mediation lacked actual real weight. Since it was voluntary, it was not always effective. More broadly, there has been institutional push towards mediation and other alternative dispute resolution, or ADR, methods. So courts, governments, and government agencies and private firms are all calling for faster, cheaper, and less adversarial options. In fact, since 2022, the Legal Affairs Department of Dubai has partnered with the European ADR Center to build mediation capacity in the Emirate by training government employees, lawyers, and the wider business community in mediation skills. It's worth noting that I am also now a certified mediator under the same program. And this momentum is not limited to onshore Dubai. The DIFC has also introduced reforms that place strong emphasis on mediation. So these local reforms in Dubai align with and build upon broader developments at the federal level. So once again, what we're talking about today, we're just talking about the Dubai mediation framework. And Dubai is just only one of the emirate in the UAE. So at a federal level as well, there are a number of mediation laws and mediation framework that's a federal framework within which Dubai operates. So in addition to the emirate-based or Dubai-based mediation laws, there's a number of federal laws. So for example, the Federal Law Number 6 of 2021 already sets out a nationwide framework for mediation and conciliation of civil and commercial disputes, including provisions for mediator lists and neutrality and registration. Alongside this, the legal institutional training programs have continued to expand, with both government and professional bodies investing in mediation skills and infrastructure. At the same time, private mediation centers are now also being formally regulated through licensing, premises requirements, and even insurance obligation under the recent resolutions. And perhaps most telling of all is the public awareness of mediation, which is growing. More and more parties now expect mediation to feature in dispute resolution clauses or even to be required as a step for litigation. So it's also kind of worth mentioning, or is that stepping up and looking at the mediation's role in the West, particularly in the United States. And that is one of my sort of own personal subjects that I've kind of held dear, because I've been practicing in the UAE now for 17 years, and mediation until recently has not really been much of a topic. In fact, it hasn't really it hasn't really been very effective in terms of bringing parties together. And there are a number of reasons for that, and perhaps it's a subject for a different podcast. But ultimately, having practiced in the U.S. and having witnessed and been involved in a number of successful mediations, I've sort of personally myself always wished for mediation to become more of an integral part of the UAE legal practice. And lo and behold, this also why I got certified by this by the Legal Affairs Department recently as a mediator. But the European Center on ADR that is kind of that's that chairs the mediation practice and the mediation framework in Dubai actually was trained and is sort of bases its techniques and its competency on the West mediation system, and specifically the U.S. mediation system. So for example, mediation in the U.S. Has been long recognized and being one of the best, one of the best methods, and kind of in the best interest of all parties. So, and when structured effectively, it can save months, even years of litigation. It can obviously reduce significantly costs and preserve relationships that would otherwise be broken by adversarial court battles. So that's sort of the reason why mediation is called alternative dispute resolution method, and that's why if it works well, it is so effective. It also allows parties to keep the dispute private, because mediation, for the most part, is always private, which in many industries is as valuable as the outcome itself. Let's face it, not many parties want to have their sort of dirty laundry be aired in public court. So in practice, for example, in the U.S., the U.S. courts frequently pause legal proceedings or court proceedings and refer parties to mediation before a trial can move forward. I'll give you a specific example. Back in the old days when I practiced in the U.S., we had a contract dispute for a client, and the parties were kind of going at it with all their guns blazing. And at some point, so the parties had briefed their cases. So there's a proper court case that's ongoing, and both parties have their legal counsel. They've briefed their cases. And at some point, the judge ultimately pauses the proceedings and schedules a mediation. Now, mediation by itself doesn't have sort of a mandatory, obligatory authority. You cannot obligate parties to one thing or another. But the court can obligate the parties to go and try mediation. So that's exactly what happens in a lot of the U.S. proceedings. So in that particular case, the court said, okay, parties, now time out. You go and try to do mediation. And then so there's a number. So this is actually the Mediation Center, JAMS, which is the Judicial Arbitration, the Mediation Services. So there's a mediator appointed from JAMS in that case. And the parties had to sort of to pause the legal proceedings, the court proceedings, and do this mediation. And the idea of that specific process and timing in terms of when it happened during the court proceedings is that at that point, both parties have already briefed their cases, right? So they have submitted the documents, they've had the disclosures, they had depositions and whatever else that needed to be done at that point in time. So much of the cases, respective cases, had already been briefed. And the judge and the courts had already seen most of the sort of substance of both parties' cases. And so that's the idea of why in the U.S. there's this practice of the court says, okay, now that the case have been briefed, then the parties, brief your sort of substance of your cases in short to the mediator, and let the mediator see if the mediator can bring you closer together. And so in that case, that's exactly what happened. So the burden is on the parties to kind of go through this months of briefing and summarize it to the mediator, because the mediator is new to the case, right? And the mediation does not last for more than, you know, like a few weeks in that particular case. So there's not that much time for the mediator to come up to speed on all the details. That's why the job is on the parties. And that's, by the way, also what we studied in our mediation course the other day or the other months, is that then the parties... The burden is on the lawyers to brief, to present this case as their respective cases to the mediator, that in a way that is easy to comprehend for the mediator to be able to actually make a difference, to try to make a difference in the case. And that's exactly what happened. So in that particular case, there was the mediator sort of shuttled between the two offices, between the two parties, and ultimately was able to bring the parties together. So, and perhaps this is another topic for another podcast at some point in time, in terms of, you know, how mediations can potentially evolve further in the UAE and in Dubai specifically. But for the purposes of today's discussion, I just want to focus on the Dubai mediation, the laws, and specifically I'm talking about laws because there was a law from 2021 and there's a new law now in this year. But ultimately, there's a series of laws and there's a mediation framework that we're discussing. So, but that's just kind of to demonstrate an example, a specific example of why mediation is not just helpful, but why in certain jurisdictions like the U.S., for example, mediation is a mandatory step in a lot of the proceedings. And that's sort of what we perhaps would expect. And by the virtue of the recent amendments, what we are seeing is being introduced in the Dubai mediation framework as well. As I mentioned earlier, so the mediation techniques, the current sort of international, if you will, mediation techniques, and the ones that are being introduced and sort of trained in the UAE are based on what's called the GEMS, and that's the Judicial Arbitration Mediation Services that we were founded and still predominantly sort of based in the U.S. And that's the major driver of the success of mediation in general, which because it has now become the world's largest private alternative dispute resolution provider. So JAMS has built a reputation for highly skilled mediators, often retired judges or senior lawyers, who bring credibility, neutrality, and deep subject matter expertise to the process. So which means is what? So this is, remember, this is private mediation. So it's a group of, it's like an association or an organization, a group they don't necessarily have to be legal practitioners, but a group of individuals are qualified to be mediators as per GEMS. Overall, these individuals are highly skilled. So they're either, as I mentioned earlier, retired judges or senior lawyers, but they could also be specific industry experts, right? They don't necessarily have to be, let's say it could be an IP engineer. So it's specific industry expert, not necessarily a legally qualified person. So because this body of mediators is comprised of highly skilled professionals, the idea here is that they will be able to resolve these disputes quickly and effectively because they've seen it all. So they're not newbies. They are not, you know, somebody with not much relevant experience. And then because of that, often, at least in the West, mediation is so successful because this body of people who ultimately can offer their services and do offer their services, they are so effective because of their experience and expertise. It's no coincidence that the European Center of Mediation, which basically has partnered up with Dubai since 2022 and is modeled on this GEM system. This shows how Dubai's reforms are not happening in isolation, but are part of a broader global trend, treating mediation not as a secondary option, but as a central pillar of modern dispute resolution. So against this backdrop, Dubai's latest reform take on even greater significance by drawing from a proven international model or models while addressing local shortcomings. Law number 9 of 2025, this is the most recent law, aims to give mediation some real bite, some real teeth. So let's turn to the heart of the matter. What exactly does this new law change? So under the previous framework, which was law number 18 of 2021, which is still in effect, except 10 of its articles have now been supplemented with a new law, so mediators had limited authority to make settlement agreements directly executable. So which that means is if the parties had agreed on a settlement and the agreement was drafted, the mediators didn't have the authority to make that document itself to be an executable instrument. The parties still needed then judicial ratification, a step that often delayed enforcement and weakened, therefore, mediation impact, which means, let's say if I was in a dispute with party B, and we, with the mediator, successfully were able to bridge our differences, and we signed the actual agreement. Now, that agreement is only, you know, it's still a private document. It hasn't been officially ratified or registered, and that's because the mediators, even though we had our mediation by an appointed or a chosen mediator, that agreement still was not, I guess was only as effective to the extent that the parties were going to comply with it, but it didn't have sort of a legal significance or legal effect. It's just such as a stamp or a blessing from the courts. Well, it's still required to go to the judge, and the judge would have to attach a stamp. So then the new amendments also address this by allowing the mediator or conciliator, there's both terms are used, to now ratify the agreement and make them executory documents without having to go to court. So in other words, once the settlement is reached, it can be directly enforced without having to ask the judge to add his or her stamp on the agreement. And that basically means that, let's say, if we sign the agreement and then a few months from there, one or the other party decides not to comply with it, you don't have to go and relitigate the case. You don't have to go and argue this particular settlement agreement. You can literally use the settlement agreement, because it had already been ratified, for enforcement or execution purposes. And so this is a big game changer for efficiencies, obviously, and it means that the parties can now rely on mediation outcomes with the same level of certainty as a court judgment, but without the delays and so procedural hurdles and adversarial tone of litigation. And by cutting out this judicial ratification, the process becomes much faster, leaner, and more attractive to disputing parties. Also, under the previous law, certain categories of disputes were excluded or were sort of optional for mediation conciliation, such as personal status cases and family matters, as well as interim or urgent cases. So this created, again, unnecessarily delays and a bit of uncertainty, while the new law now tightens the categories where mediation is mandatory. So much as like the case I shared of the U.S., where certain cases and certain sort of step litigation now is mandatory to be sent to litigation. So this new law now specifically introduces this option of mandatory mediation, which further clarifies the exemptions and to remove ambiguity. So all of this brings us to the crux of Dubai's new mediation law. So beyond the broader context, what really matters are concrete changes that it introduces. So more specifically, here are the main amendments. So one is, as we talked about before, is just the mandatory conciliation, or that's the first step, and that's addressed in Article 5. So under the new amendments, certain disputes must first pass through Center of for Amicable Settlement or of Disputes, which is CAST, or Amicable Center for sort of easier reference, or through delegated mediators, so conciliators, before the court will even accept them. This requirement applies in several situations, into the personal status disputes, family-related matters, cases referred by the President of Dubai Courts, disputes where the parties themselves agree to attempt mediation first, and disputes where a prior agreement exists between the litigants to pursue mediation as a first step. So now let's kind of break it down a little more. So for example, the personal status disputes, that's divorces. So we actually just recently kind of witnessed it and went through it in our practice, sort of firsthand, and that was a client who had applied for a divorce. In the past, would have just gone to, filed with a personal status court and kind of go through the court. So now the divorce case was referred right away to the Amicable Settlement Center for mediation. So this is an example where before this mediation, this divorce right away would go to court. Here we were referred, or the client was referred specifically to the mediator. So that's an example. We've already seen it in practice. In terms of how effective these mediations are, whether it's just another step in the process, only time will tell. And obviously this will require a little bit of time and evolution and kind of adaptation for the entire legal industry. But in the meantime, so it is already happening. We're already seeing a lot more personal status disputes being referred to mediation. And then the other example I said, cases referred by the president of the Dubai courts. That's a perhaps similar, something similar to what I mentioned in my experience in the U.S., which was, let's say there is a case that's ongoing and all of a sudden, because now the law allows for it, so let's say the judges decide in a particular case, now let's stop the or pause the court proceedings, let's refer to mediation. So this provision in the law now allows for judges to do the same thing. And then another interesting one is that when the parties agree to mediation themselves, and that could be either during the dispute or previously. So this is quite fundamental for me, because I have seen so many agreements over the years here where before parties go to mediation or to the court, there's a mediation provision that's included in the agreement. So for example, there's kind of like a stage process, and parties have a dispute, they must they must try to mediate it, and that there's some sort of framework, a structure around this sort of mediation efforts, and if they fail that goes to court. Now, in practice, those provisions were never enforced, they were never applied, and that's because they didn't have any legal force. So if even though, let's say, I had agreed to that provision, but if ultimately when the dispute arose, I said, I'm not going to mediation, take me to court, I'm not going, there's no mechanism to force the other party to take me, for me to appear in mediation. And there were no, obviously, penalties sort of remedies for the non-breaching party against someone who actually, against the breaching party in this particular case. So in other words, the party's only effective option was to actually go to court. So I have seen a lot of cases like this over the years. Here, and I can tell you with certainty that previously they have, even if you had a very, very well and sort of properly in a robust mediation provision, so clauses in the agreement, they were effectively of very little use, because unless the parties were willing to comply with them, and in most cases when there is a dispute, parties tend to make life difficult for one another. So they were not enforceable. So now under this specific amendment, it sounds like whenever there is an agreement for mediation between the parties, then there is now a way through this mediation center or the amicable center to now force the parties ultimately to go to mediation because they had previously agreed. So now the law does set out certain exceptions or exemptions. So not all cases can be referred to mediation. So especially mandatory mediation. And some of the important exemptions, they refer to sort of urgent and highly sensitive matters. And these include, like, sort of, for example, urgent interim orders or guardianship cases, inheritance disputes, certain marriage matters, and divorce verification matters, and dispute outside of the jurisdiction of the Dubai court. So these kinds of cases are specifically or expressly exempt from mediation. So in other words, there is no mandatory mediation that applies to them, and it's questionable whether even parties can kind of voluntarily agree to mediate any of these matters. But again, if it involves an urgent or like a highly sensitive case, it's obviously there's some sort of breakdown in communications altogether. So mediation really only works when you have the parties are kind of on the same page in terms of wanting to resolve the dispute. So at the same time, the amendments, that's the latest amendments, they strengthen the court's role in overseeing mediation. So disputes are now referred through the court's electronic case registration system, ensuring efficiency and traceability. And the process itself is supervised by a competent judge who provides judicial oversight to guarantee fairness and accountability throughout the mediation process. So this too is important, because mediation, generally speaking, is sort of deemed as a private, an alternative to the court, so alternative to the more formal forum. That's why it's called ADR, or alternative dispute resolution. So therefore, sometimes, depending on the jurisdictions, there could be kind of a mismatch between, okay, so this is a private forum, so but how effective is this private forum or private or any documents or any agreements that stem from this private forum adjudication in terms of its actual legal enforcement or legal validity. So here, as per the Dubai law, it will still be kind of all under the umbrella of the Dubai courts and sort of managed and supervised and overseen and also managed through its court portal. So now we have seen that in the case I shared with you early about the divorce case, is that this was all done, you know, and everything sort of managed and scheduled through the Dubai courts court portal. So, which is in many ways sort of similar, kind of it's a fairly seamless process. So it's very similar to how you would now be managing your court proceedings in Dubai through the online platform, which is highly efficient and technologically advanced. So mediation is not a separate kind of, for the time being at least, is not a separate a portal, but as part of the Dubai courts. So also the law addresses kind of another key feature, and that's the ability of the center, this amicable dispute center, to delegate certain functions, certain mediation, conciliation functions. So under the new framework, the settlement dispute center, or the CAST, it can now pass cases to government agencies or other authorized entities. So this is an important development because it expands the reach and the capacity of mediation in Dubai. So instead of concentrating all cases within a single center, the law now allows specialized bodies, whether governmental or authorized private entities, to take on mediation functions. So an example is a consumer dispute. Now it could be delegated to an economic department or like a consumer protection department, instead of being mediated by the same center. Or a family-related matter can also be now delegated to a specialized agency. So obviously the idea is to reduce bottlenecks and make the process more accessible and ensure that the disputes are handled by institutions with the right expertise. So, and fifth, the other big amendment is the law strengthens the enforceability of settlement agreement. So under the old framework, mediated agreements had little bite unless they were ratified by the court, as I mentioned earlier, which was a step that slowed things down and sort of otherwise weakened confidence in the process. They could only sort of be challenged for fraud or deception, filed within 5 working days by a competent judge who must rule within 5 days. So that's also kind of one of the requirements in the law. So now conciliators are directly empowered to both ratify settlements and issue them as executory documents. So in practice, this means that once the parties reach an agreement, it carries the same weight as a court judgment and it can be enforced immediately. So this shift removes a major procedural hurdle, and it only speeds up the dispute resolution, but additionally sort of builds trust in mediation as a reliable alternative to litigation. And then finally, so the amendments also address the issue of language and formalities, kind of tighten the language on that, and that settlement agreements must now be properly recorded in writing and follow formal documentation requirements. So in other words, just, the kind of a private document signed by the party, that's not, in order for it to fall under the jurisdiction of this law, that would not be sufficient. It would have to be signed and sort of ratified through the mediation system. And then where bilingual agreements are used, which is often the case, obviously, in Dubai, so the Arabic version, as always, will prevail in the event of any discrepancy. So in terms of how there's mediators or conciliators and, how the system works. So this Center of Amicable Settlement of Disputes, or CAS, is an existing institution in Dubai. It exists already, but it's still developing and evolving quite rapidly. So it handles conciliation and amicable settlement procedures. Under the amended law, it has now updated powers and obligations. So the center exists, this law further bolsters its authority and powers. And beyond CAST, the law now also opens the door for private or authorized entities to act as conciliators when delegated. So these entities are subject to licensing and regulatory oversight, naturally, which ensures professional standards and proper premises and even insurance coverage. And this expansion allows the system to scale, making mediation more accessible and specialized. And so also conciliators must be formally authorized under the law, and all proceedings remain under the supervision of a competent judge with formal rules in place to preserve fairness and consistency. And where technical expert is required or expertise, such as evaluation, audits, or special reports, conciliators may engage experts too. So very similar to kind of judicial powers. And importantly, the law defines the scope of this involvement along with time frames and fees to ensure the process remains efficient and transparent. So now let's talk about sort of what does that mean, in, you know, apart from some examples that I've given outside of the UAE's sort of legal practice. What does it mean here? So let's we can kind of discuss a few perhaps case studies, not any specific details, but of how things used to be before and how they might be now in light of this law. So let's say in the family or personal status category. So before, let's say the two spouses in Dubai had a disagreement over a marital property. They needed to go to the personal status court, even if they have an agreement, in order to settle that specific dispute. And they had to get a court sort of a court ratification on that specific document, and that obviously leads to delays, you know, costs and emotional burden. So now after, in light of this new law, number 9, the case must first go through CAST or the amicable center and specifically Family Guidance and Reconciliation Committee. And if agreement is reached, then via conciliator, then the agreement can be ratified directly as executor instrument and skipping extra court steps. So that's in the family dispute. Another case study, for example, could be another dispute that's referred, generally would be referred by Dubai courts. So it's a claim filed in Dubai courts, and it could in the past it would proceed immediately through litigation, and conciliation was only optional, which basically meant often it was a non-event. So now, in light of this new law, if the dispute is one that qualifies as part of Article 5 of the law, and there's, you know, more kind of nuances of which disputes qualify, the court now the court rejects or refuses to register it unless the party has first attempted conciliation via the amicable settlement dispute center or an authorized conciliator. So certain disputes, as I said, kind of similar to the example I gave about an American case, is that now the court has the power to say pause, or you cannot proceed until you try to mediate. Another type of case study, let's say some business contract or a settlement. So before, let's say two companies with a breach of contract claim may attempt mediation and may even reach settlement, but it will still be require a judge's approval for enforceability. And that obviously leads to challenges and all sorts of delays and costs. Now, in light of this law number 9, the new law, if both parties agree and the conciliator is or mediator is authorized, and they can sign a mediation agreement. It's entered via the Dubai courts system, approved by the mediator, and becomes enforceable more directly. So therefore, disputing parties may not only get very narrow sort of avenues to challenge if there's an event of fraud or deception. So, you know, kind of at a high level, what are the practical implications of this new law? And we've already seen it to an extent, and obviously we'll see a lot more in the future. So ultimately, and that's kind of also in line with its objectives, it's faster access to enforceable settlements and less need to drag issues through long court proceedings. There's more certainty. Parties will know early whether their dispute must go through conciliation or not. There's also greater use of government departments and agencies as dispute resolution entities under delegation. So if it's a specialized dispute, like, let's say, consumer protection, it could go specifically to that government entity that will deal with a specific case. So also more formal procedural requirements like documentation, registration, oversight, and deadlines. The law sets now, it's like, for example, 5 working days to challenge. So there's a lot more certainty in terms of how it works and what parties should expect. And therefore, also in terms of practical applications, now this means that legal practitioners will need to kind of update their contracts, and the parties need to be mindful and perhaps consider this point in drafting their own contracts and then devising their own sort of agreements, and that's to include or at least bear in mind this mediation that, you know, first of all, it's now an option, so they may want to, and that would benefit for them to include it and make sure that it's sort of included and drafted in the right way. And if they don't do it, at least so that they know that they may have to still go through mediation even if the contractor does not address it. Okay, so in conclusion, Dubai's new mediation law, which is law number 9 of 2025, introduces 6 major reforms that reshape how disputes are resolved in the Emirate. So it's one is this mandatory conciliation for certain disputes through the amicable settlement center before courts will hear them. Two, there are certain exemptions for urgent, sensitive, or out of jurisdictions matters to avoid unnecessary delays. Three, there's judicial oversight via the court's electronic portal with a competent judge supervising the process. Four, delegation of functions to government agencies and authorized private entities, expanding capacity. Five, stronger conciliation powers, including the ability to ratify settlement agreements and issue them as executory documents, making outcomes directly enforceable. And then six, formalities and language rules requiring agreements to be formally recorded with Arabic prevailing in case of discrepancy. So together, these changes elevate mediation from a secondary option to a central pillar of dispute resolution in Dubai, faster, more reliable, and aligned with global best practices. So Dubai's law number 9 of 2025 is more than just a tweak. It's a substantive reform of the conciliation mediation process. And for individuals, businesses, and legal advisors alike, this law demands more than just awareness. It requires careful process design, stronger preparation, and clearer understanding of which disputes now fall under the mandatory ADR, or alternative dispute resolution. So in short, success in Dubai's new dispute resolution landscape will depend on how well the parties will adapt to mediation as the new norm. That's all for this episode of Logical with Ludmila. If you found this episode useful and you like what we do, you can always find more on our website. That is lylawyers.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And for the full experience, you can watch our video podcast on YouTube. Until next time, stay informed, stay safe, and keep things logical.